Welcome to Life in Debt, a practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of my show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. The first series of shows has been a general overview of the big picture of debt in its four stages. First stage, the pre-debt stage before we take it on. The second stage is the comfortable stage of having debt. The third is the slippery slope stage. And the fourth is the trouble stage, the abyss one can fall into financially. This show provides practical general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Also, get some notebook paper and a pen for later in the show. First, we always start our show looking at debt-related news and facts for the week. Some unfortunate news, gas just hit $126 per barrel, and the average national cost for a gallon of regular gas hit $3.67, which are all-time records in both areas. General Motors CFO Ray Young now says the economy may need additional financing to help it overcome the current economic crisis, worker strikes, problems with suppliers, and skyrocketing fuel prices. General Motors has $24 billion at its disposal, but if the current adverse economic conditions persist or deteriorate further, we would consider a wide range of actions, including selling non-core assets, reprioritizing its capital spending, and tapping credit markets. In other words, this is a good indication of not such a good picture for General Motors and similarly situated companies. Another interesting area is the boating industry. Boating was traditionally the pastime of the well-off, but the long housing boom and its gusher of easy credit changed that. People refinance their homes, that equity amount that they have there, and use the cash for down payment on a cruiser, mini yacht, or sailboats. From 2000 to 2006, retail sales for the recreational boating industry rose by more than 40% to $39.5 billion. While the average loan amount more than tripled to $141,000. That's huge. And of course, this is all for recreational activities. But as with the rest of the economy, last year, as real estate faltered, the gears went into reverse, the number of boats sold fell 8%. Many boats are obviously fuel hogs, and rising gasoline and diesel prices meant a weekend jaunt could cost hundreds or even thousands of dollars. So owners found that they could not sell a boat for what they owed and, of course, could not refinance either. The solution for some is, like with homes, to simply stop paying the debt. This, unfortunately, has become more and more the solution for many people who are on financial straits. They just stop paying debt that is due on some secured item that they no longer want and, of course, will be repossessed. Actually, I should say they want it, but they can no longer afford it. So one example, and this is a real example with a fictional name, Mr. Jones originally bought a smaller, more affordable boat, but a salesman talked him into an upgrade. That's a typical response in our economy. And he said, oh yeah, I thought that would be really cool. And it was, because there were many pleasant cruises during a few summers when he owned the boat. But unfortunately, the merriment came at a price. His boat cost $175,000, and that was with the trade-in and down payment. Mr. Jones still ended up with a $125,000 loan. "You pay the interest up front," he observed, "and the principal never goes down." After 7 years, he still owed $111,000, which was about twice what the boat is worth. Meanwhile, for this particular man, he lost his condominium when his mortgage readjusted and those payments went up. His 401k is down to a bare minimum of $9,000. And what he said was, "I oversaturated myself with long-term debt. It was a risk, a calculated risk, and I obviously lost." Now, this man is going to be declaring bankruptcy. And it really is, because he is spending too much money on his wants, and his bare necessities are not his focus here to have a balanced situation. His wants are way over the edge. And just talking about bankruptcies, the calculations this year, based on the filing of bankruptcies to date and the traditional patterns of bankruptcy filings, suggest that we again will see over 1 million consumer bankruptcy filings for all of 2008. In the home foreclosure area, U.S. home foreclosure filings surged 65% in April of this year versus a year ago to more than 243,000 foreclosures. One of every 519 U.S. households filed for foreclosure during the month. Nearly half of the filings were initial notices of default, suggesting many new properties have now entered the process. That means the government tried so far isn't working, according to Rich Sharga of Realty Tracks. Economists think more than 1 million homes will be lost in 2008. According to Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he says conditions in the mortgage market remain quite difficult and mortgage delinquencies have climbed steeply. The sharpest increases have been among subprime mortgages, particularly those with adjustable rate interests. About one quarter of subprime adjustable rate mortgages are currently 90 days or more delinquent or in foreclosure. It's 25%. Delinquency rates have increased in the prime and near prime segments of the mortgage market, although not nearly as much as in the subprime sector. As a consequence of rising delinquencies, foreclosure proceedings were initiated on some 1.5 million U.S. homes during 2007, up 53% from 2006, and the rate of foreclosure starts looking to be likely yet higher in 2008. So the forecast from various sources is looking bleak in the housing situation, even in the prime mortgage areas. And finally, Meredith Whitney, an analyst for Oppenheimer, said that the real harrowing days of the credit crisis are still in front of us and will prove more widespread in effect than anything yet seen. We expect that banks will write down more than $170 billion of additional reserves by the end of the year. Just as strained liquidity pushed so many small and mid-sized specialty finance companies to beyond the brink, we believe it will do the same with the U.S. consumer, which is an interesting point. We should and always look at ourselves as businesses, and even though we're consumers, we should be looking at ourselves just like the businesses look at themselves. And obviously, we're going to think in those terms and react accordingly and structure our lives accordingly. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. Now I'd like to move on to the positive, upbeat portion of the show, continuing to take control of your situation and creating balance in your life in the comfortable stage of having debt. And I'm going to give a credit to Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tiagi for their thoughts, ideas, and examples, which I'll be using, because many of those points that I bring up are based on the work theories and books of these leading champions for debtors. And I recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. And as a review of what we just recently did, we're discussing negative mental traps, stuck in believing in the trap that we might have that really deters us from getting out of debt and creating our program of balanced finances. And those traps can be such as the all or nothing trap. For example, I can't follow a budget, credit is already ruined, credit card debt is just part of my life, and I can never cover my bare necessities with 50%, which is part of our formula. Another one is money is too hard for me. I don't understand finances. I'm no good at math. It makes me nervous. My situation is too complicated. So those are other things that we can have in our brains that deter us from making some progress. One point just to raise again and underline is that we just need to have some comprehensive understanding, put some effort and time and stick with it attitude into this, and with determination we will improve our financial situation. That there's really nothing fancy here. It's really for the typical hardworking person who wants basic control and a stable future financially. And we need to have positive thinking to offset these negative mental traps, but that thinking really also needs action to make steps of progress. Another mental trap is the finger-pointing trap, excuse-making, my money problems are someone else's fault, it's my employer's fault for not paying me enough, I have bad fortune, I'm not getting enough child support, the cost of housing and utilities is just way too high, kids cost too much. And as we said before, these may be true points in part or in whole, but we're not off the hook. It's still our responsibility, and we have to break this habit of blame and look for opportunities to make everything better. We're going to go towards what is helpful for our personal financial progress, not what is keeping us in the problem. We have a habit of keeping the negative mental trap as part of our life, and we really just need to change the focus to positive facts that exist. And with those facts, we can recognize that there's always something you can do, that there is a silver lining in every cloud. Another negative mental trap is the wishful thinking without any positive action, just kind of sitting there and waiting for great things to happen. You know, that great job is just going to come down the pike. I'm healthy, so I don't need insurance, health insurance that is. I'm young, so there's no need to worry. Retirement will work out later, or I'll win the lottery. These are money fantasies, and they do lead to inaction. And that is not a good thing. Inaction is the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish here. We want positive seed thoughts with action that is going to lead us to a higher level of financial success based on this simple, keep it simple strategy, the KISS program of these three basic areas that we're looking into and have analyzed in the past, of bare necessities at 50% of our net income, wants at 30% of our net income, and savings at 20% of our net income as the long-term strategy for improving. Another negative mental trap we have is the counting pennies, not using our time wisely. We're trying to cut every penny and use every coupon and spend a lot of time in dealing with these penny rich issues, but we then become pound poor. And we want to keep focused on these bigger, broader areas that are important and critical in making ourselves successful and stable financially. So we discuss breaking free from these mental traps and making a contract with yourself. Of course, to break free, you have to identify the trap, you have to admit you are thinking like this and that you need some help. You're not financially healthy, that's an admission, and so you need to find the source of the trap. And with that trap, we don't avoid it, minimize it, ignore it, or delay in reacting to it. Because the earlier you see problems or possible problems, then the more control you will have to avoid those problems and minimize them in terms of their effect or consequences. But we don't want to just be an ostrich with our head in the sand in these circumstances. We really have to look at where we are and what mental processes are helping to create and maintain these problems that we have financially. So our job is to recognize and locate the issues, the traps, and become committed to doing something to change. We want some attention and effort on our part. We're not going to have things just automatically. For example, retirement, our kids are going to take care of me. That's not going to really happen in most people's cases. And if I just watch the pennies, it will make me financially healthy. That generally is not going to be the case. You need to have some goals of reducing negative thinking about money. And of course, the thoughts come up, we've discussed that, but you don't act on them, you do the opposite. The positive thinking and productive action need to come together. And what we said was, for example, money is too hard, mental trap. But you respond by the facts. You know, I can and I do run my household, I do earn a paycheck, I do pay my bills, I do keep a checkbook. And so you look at what you are doing well and you build from there. Someone else's fault, finger-pointing trap. What you have to say is that I am not a victim. I have and can take charge of my life. And by taking responsibility and acting on the facts, I can control my financial destiny. The third trap is the all-or-nothing trap, that extremist thinking, that I can't do this 50-30-20 strategy. It's just not possible. I can't accomplish it, so why bother doing anything? And the response that you need to have is that you just take one step at a time. A very famous story is of the young man who lifts a calf every day, and he just lifts it and walks ways every day with the calf. And of course, he's getting stronger from lifting the calf and walking, but the calf is also growing. And as a result, he ultimately, by the time he's an adult, is able to lift a cow. Now, that may be a very big kind of analogy, but there is some truth there that we can actually hold greater challenges if we just build every day, one step at a time, with what is manageable in our lives. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. So the general principle here is that, yeah, there may be too much to do, so we focus on the important things and not the tiny, never-ending details, and we make a commitment for financial change and stick with it. We discuss actually concretizing it by writing it down, and this helps to really put it into a form where we can go back and review it, and it can inspire us to see our progress. And so I'd like to go over those points again, and you should have these already from listening to the past shows, but the contract that you have You can write them down now. Again, if you've missed some point, you write a contract and it says, I'm going to let go of my past and my spouse and family's past financial mistakes. That's point one. Point two, I'm going to make my financial well-being a top priority in my life. Point three, I'm going to take responsibility for my financial success. Point number four, I'm going to put in the time and effort from this point on to improve my finances. Number five, I'm going to stop holding myself out as a victim of my financial circumstances. Number six, I'm going to take steps necessary to stop being a victim of any person or company that wants to take advantage of me. There will be those people out there, but you have to not let them make you into a victim. Point number seven, I'm going to be honest about my financial situation and not avoid, minimize, or delay in seeing and correcting the difficulties. Number eight, I'm going to recognize and root out any negative thinking traps. Number nine, I'm going to make time to shop for better deals. And number 10, I'm going to write down any other personal traps that you want to conquer. So you state it and then you give the opposite. And this is your contract, just a simple 10-point contract that you sign and date. And if you can, you have your spouse sign and date it if you can work as a team. But if unwilling to do so, you just do it yourself, and that's your first step. Now the next area is the cut step. You're going to go back to your bare necessities, and we're going to see what can be trimmed on these big ticket items to get to the 50% that we had proportioned for your bare necessities or must-haves. The items like your home, insurance, car, food, all of those items that we outlined earlier. We're going to revisit the big purchases, which you probably haven't assessed or evaluated in quite a long while. And it's really overspending in these areas that creates financial drain. And it's the balancing of this factor in the equation which is the basis for a successful money plan. Not just the saving of a few pennies on our double coupons. These factors, these items, claim more of your money than anything else. And once you get this right, you won't have to do it again for a long time because they're recurrent payments you make every month. And even this will go on for years at a time, like for your house or rent. And once they are straightened out, then they can be really put on the back burner and you don't have to worry about them anymore. And you will be able to save for the future. And this is all really good for you. Now the first step is to calculate and set a bare necessities target, which won't be too much or too little. And it's really just a simple formula. We've calculated before our net monthly income, which is our after-tax income. We multiply that by 50%, and this is the target for our bare necessities. This is the number you want to actually be paying each month on your must-haves or bare necessities. That's your target or ideal number. Now, you're going to compare that with what you already calculated you are in fact spending each month on your bare necessities, which is probably more, and the difference is what you need to save each month. So this is your goal. So if you're at, let's say, $2,000 per month as your original bare necessities amount that you are spending, and when you've done this calculation, it should only be $1,600 a month. That means that there's $400 a month that is your target or goal that you have to reduce for your bare necessities to get down to 50% of your income each month. That's your goal. Most people are going to be over 50% when they look back, so they're going to need to cut or squeeze out that, for example, $400 from the monthly expenses every month, and we'll see how to do that. In order to cut or squeeze out these extra expenses, we're going to cut the easy stuff first. first area we're going to look at is insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, car insurance. What you need to do is you need to make phone calls, go online, and inquire about insurance and save. Just as an example, a personal example, in auto insurance, I had a company insuring me at reasonable rates, but when my son turned 16 and I also got a higher performance car, those things happened simultaneously, the insurance premium skyrocketed, more than doubled for various reasons or underwriting logics, and they have them. I could have accepted it, but I said no, and I shopped around, I shopped online, I spoke to people, and I actually was able to reduce that premium all the way back, regardless of the fact that I had a 16-year-old driver and a higher performance vehicle. So it can be done. Most people are paying too much, way too much for insurance, and they never question this. You need to shop every 2 years for insurance. It's a really important principle. You need to get multiple quotes. It's suggested by Professor Warren that you should get at least 5 different providers. And you go back to your current provider with the quotes from those 5 other providers and ask if they can beat it. You can also ask about discounts for insurance. There are lots of discounts that are often available. One example is if you have one provider and they provide packages of insurance for home, car, life insurance, they often offer good discounts, but you got to double check on that and inquire. It won't be automatically offered to you. If you're buying a house, don't let the real estate agent get the insurance for you on your purchase. And if you did, well, now's the time to shop to change it, because I can guarantee that you can get a lower rate. It's really important to pay some attention to those kinds of issues. Another important point is that you should increase your deductible to the largest amount you can. That means you can pay, which wouldn't be a pinch for you to pay if, in fact, some incident happened, and this is in home insurance or automobile insurance in particular. Another point people don't realize is that credit rating affects insurance quotes. If you have low credit rating, that's okay. You're going to start living according to these principles. We're going to work on getting your finances straightened out, and then in 6 months you're going to shop again for insurance. And then if it doesn't increase that much, in another 6 months. And you can get a better deal. And if you do get a better deal on insurance, you switch now. You don't have to wait. You can switch immediately, and you'll get some premium back. And in fact, you'll be in a much better financial situation. Another important point is to watch out for extras and add-ons that you don't need when you're purchasing insurance. That's very important. And then, of course, you take your premium, the lowest premium, from a good, reputable company. And there's a lot of them out there. Their ratings are available online from Moody's or Standard & Poor's, S&P, and those are the companies you go with. We'll continue next week in thinking of how to get rid of insurance you don't need. And the final tip for the week is don't use your credit card for cash advances. It will harm your credit score, and the interest rates are absolutely outrageous. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.